over.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Stoneface Films podcast right around the corner. Just very quickly want to inform you about our good friends over at Loot Crate. We are huge fans of Loot Crate. We have been for years and years and years. And you know how we feel about it by now. They are the tops. They are the tops. They are the Tower of Pisa. Loot Crate is the monthly mystery crate for all of you pop culture fans, people who enjoy video games, movies, nerd stuff, basically everything we talk about on this show and more. If you're into the kind of stuff we're into, boy howdy will you enjoy Loot Crate. It comes with exclusive and incredible items and apparel from your favorite TV shows, movies, games, and more, with over $45 worth of value in each and every crate. So, particularly with our promo code BADLADS, you're effectively robbing them. Go to lootcrate.com/stoneface and check out May's box, The Guardians. Go there, lootcrate.com/stoneface, promo code BADLADS. BADLADS. You want to talk about, you know, phallic objects? Boy, howdy. Don't come any finer.
Going into tunnels?
If you could get me that would change my mind now. That would get me...
If I had a vibrator shaped like a train?
Boo, howdy. You read my mind.
It's the as-of-yet-untitled Stoneface Production Committee Hour podcast, maybe longer than an hour.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Stoneface Films podcast. My name is John Hosier Byrne, and with me, as always, he almost couldn't be here today because he was talking shit about baristas, Mr. David Riley.
Hey, guys.
He's got muffin in his mouth, ladies and gentlemen. That's the type of professionalism you expect from the Stoneface Films podcast.
I never learn.
No.
160 plus episodes.
And you still, yeah. It's a pretty consistent theme at this stage.
Yeah.
But there you go.
At least the listeners know
Right.
There needs to be no worry about me starving.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Also with us today, and we're delighted to have him, he is the Mahatma Gandhi to our every other leader in Civilization 6. It's Mr. Rob O'Sullivan.
Hello.
How you doing? Engineer of Sentinel Audio Productions, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. It's very warm today.
It is unseasonably warm.
Well, it's quite seasonably warm.
It's pretty
warm.
Seasonal.
I don't know.
I was so worried you were going to say the Mahatma Gandhi to our every other Indian.
Our Mahatma right. Gandhi to our... British Empire.
That's true. No, but it's video games, yeah. is the running theme at the moment. Also with us today, continuing our series-long arc of having strong feminist young Irish women on the podcast, and we are delighted to continue that arc, will we say, for want of a better terminology.
Yeah.
Run, I don't know how you describe it, except for the Ryan brothers, who... David booked from while looking up from behind, I believe you mentioned. I've been informed to introduce her as the founder and senior smut peddler at sexshoppa.ie. It's Miss Shauna Scott, everyone. How are you doing, Shauna?
Thank you for having me. Yeah, really good.
Thank you for being here.
Someone didn't turn off their phone.
The sound engineer.
You guys
of
are
all
so
people.
Professional.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Face full of muffin and a phone full of vibrating pocket.
Just killing it.
That didn't make any sense as a sentence. But I stand behind it. Shauna, how are you? How's your week been?
Yeah, good. Well, like, David bought me coffee and a muffin as payment for being on this show and, like, didn't give me ample enough time to eat it before recording. So, you know. Highly disappointed.
It's the Riley method. Yeah. Plainly see.
Eat while you're being introduced.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like your necklace, Shauna. It's very nice.
Thank you. I got it in like H&M like a million years ago.
From
like
their
my favorite necklace.
Gorgon Knot series.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hit and miss.
Yep.
I enjoy it. I've beef. We've beef. Me and H&M.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we don't like each other.
You and Herschel and whatever M stands for.
Miss. Yeah. Herschel and Miss. Which I believe was season one of The Walking Dead. With the say, listen, how's everyone's week been? David, how's your week been like?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you'll be delighted to know it's back to that time of the year where I can tell you about the thing I got booked for.
For God's sake. So tell us about what your week has been like apart from hypothetically existent future bookings.
I grim old day yesterday.
Yeah.
Whole hospital visits, good crack, just gigging and writing.
Very good.
Very, very monotonous these days.
Very good. Very good stuff.
Bit of sunshine. Enjoying the sun. It's lovely the last few days.
Very pleasant.
Mm.
Shauna, what is your last been week?
Yeah, been really good. Like my best friend from school like came over to visit.
She, oh, yeah? Like, you want to give her a shout out on this? What's her name?
Huh?
You want to give her a shout out?
Yeah, Ashley, if you're listening all
I'm
the
sure
way in Seattle.
Is.
Yeah.
Ashley is a devoted listener.
Did you say her husband's name was Scooter?
Scooter.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not his.
I don't know.
Ashley made a mistake. She's actually done goofed.
No, dude. Scooter
is Scooter
like,
a surname?
Scooter Randall.
Scooter Randall?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
He's the coolest fucking dude.
I have
he's
no
just,
doubt.
He's just so sound. Like, yeah I love Scooter.
Scooter Randall. Yeah. And that is his given name.
Yeah.
After Saint Scooter.
Wow. After Saint Scooter.
Saint Scooter. Yeah. And like he just bought a new scooter. Like he bought an old Vespa. So
right.
It's Scooter riding a scooter.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Does he know who Scooter is, the German dance DJ from the early 2000s?
I don't know. Yes. I don't even know who that person is. Because I'm not.
Do you know what? Does he know of old-timey fishing boats?
Like a schooner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
But he's got, his first name is Vespa, is it?
Yeah,
so Scooter's the nickname.
The Scooter Vespa Randall. Yeah.
Because Scooter is the name of one of the carnies in The Simpsons, and I've never known how somebody gets the nickname Scooter.
Well, apparently, it's not a nickname. It's on that B cert.
Hang on, yeah, is it birth?
No, it's not. It's not on his birth cert.
Oh right.
No,
oh
no.
Okay. I misunderstood.
Yeah, I can't remember what his real name is. I just always called him Scooter.
I love that. That's marvelous.
Yeah. For all intents and purposes, so he's Scooter by name.
But
Scooter
he's
by
he's
nature.
Great. Like my friend Ashley is a tattoo artist. So if like it's a slow business day, she'll just like ring him up and be like, "Get in," and he'll come in and he'll let her like tattoo on him.
Right.
So he's just got all like these. Both of them have like all these like mad random tattoos.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were in
boredom tattoos.
Yeah. The best one they got matching tattoos when they were in Scotland because they were there for May the 4th be with you.
Very good.
So they got a tattoo of Chewie riding Nessie, like with he had like a tartan sash.
That is
on.
The most boredom tattoo I've ever heard.
So they did
remarkable.
It. So they did it on the bus ride like up to Inverness. And
hang on, they tattooed on the bus?
No. Oh. She drew it, like,
oh, right,
sketched
okay.
it out. But, like, they were on the bus, so it was, like, all bumpy and stuff. She brought it to the tattoo parlor and was like, "Can you, like, do something with this?" And they were like, "Yeah, definitely." And she said they were the most chilled out because, like, back home, tattoo artists are really pernickety about, like, what they put on people.
Yeah,
and
standards.
Yeah, yeah.
But not in like, Scotland.
And he was just like, "Yeah, no problem." So they got matching tattoos.
Wow.
Yeah.
So in where are you from originally?
Seattle.
They wouldn't, if you came in with a stupid idea for a tattoo, they'd say...
Like, Ashley definitely wouldn't. Like, she has, like, a few rules. She won't do neck tattoos, hand tattoos, because she's, like, just starting off as well. So she doesn't want to, like, fuck up someone's life
right.
by giving them a bad, like, hand or neck mm-hmm. or face tattoo.
Right.
Yeah.
God, that's
is
incredible.
There a good face tattoo, though? Like...
I like Roberto Firmino's diamond on the side of his neck.
From
it's
what?
Pretty...
Roberto from?
Roberto Firmino.
Oh, right. Yeah, sorry.
Like Bobby Firms.
Yeah, Bobby Firms.
Bobby Firms, he's got a very gauche diamond on the side of his neck.
Is it crown as well, the other side, maybe?
Yeah. That's how people know you mean business.
Yeah.
When I
think of face tattoos, I always think of Mike Tyson, because that shit iconic.
Yeah, it is. It is, actually. It's weird how quickly society got... Because I remember when that happened, everyone was like, "Oh, he's a crazy person."
As in
everyone knew already, but...
No, that was the like, oh...
demonstrable proof.
Now he's lost it.
Yeah.
Signed, sealed, delivered.
And it's really odd how quickly that just became, "Oh, yeah, that's just Mike Tyson's face now." Also, he's a convicted rapist.
Get him in movies.
Yeah, there you go. Rob, what are you drinking, man?
It's a cold brew from Starbucks.
Cold brew's muck,
What's
man.
What's a cold brew?
I think it's brewed cold. I think it's done overnight. I don't know.
Like really?
Just cold coffee.
Yeah.
Just
so there's, you know, we get the iced coffee.
Yeah.
There's different to a cold brew.
If you get an Americano just over ice, it tastes exactly like an ashtray.
Yeah.
It
this
doesn't
have
good.
The same kind of
may,
bitterness.
May I have
that,
a sip? Would that be all right? You sure?
Yeah.
You sure?
Review live on...
I've got everything. That's fine.
Yeah?
Yeah, it does.
Boy, howdy.
Yeah.
Boy, howdy, is that adequate?
That is
it drinkable?
Adequate.
Somewhat palatable.
Yeah, it is relatively palatable. Yeah.
Because that was the cool thing in New York like 2 years ago. So, of course, it's going to be the thing this year here.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the 2 year rule.
I look forward to it.
Once it's jaded in America, Dublin jumps on it.
That's the plan. We're hip to the groove. I won't hear anything about
this.
Hip to
the groove. We're using phrases like hip to the groove.
Yeah.
I hear that groove is in the heart.
Yeah, this is very true.
It's been said.
Yeah. And, oh, what's that? Oh, it's a chill that you spilled down my back.
Hang on, what? A chill that you spill
down my back makes me feel satisfaction number one. Satisfaction, I'm having fun. I wouldn't ask for anything. Anyway, dance for another room. Rob?
Is that a Crazy Town lyric?
No. But I like that you assume that the only songs I know the lyrics of are Crazy Town.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was the song that Shona was
singing. Right, okay. Oh,
I was singing the next line.
And then the one after that.
And then several more.
See, as memory serves, the only bit of that song is the groove is in the heart line.
Yeah.
There's no other bits
to
that song.
That you spilled.
Nope, oh, yeah.
Makes me feel satisfaction.
I always thought it was groove is in the house. Right. Groove is in the house.
I thought it was like a moose is loose.
Yeah, the moose is loose in the hoose
situation.
Yeah,
but with the abstract concept of
groove. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like a Grand Designs episode where like we're just going to put a massive groove into the room and it's just a saw.
Like they have in the Tate Modern.
Yeah,
where you
exactly.
The Tate Modern, there's a big groove in the floor.
Yeah,
yeah.
That. Groove is in the Tate Modern.
Tate Modern.
You'd be amazed they got away with
slide whistles.
Yeah. You'd have to imagine now the health and safety. You'd need a guardrail around
that. What are you going to do? Just put a trench up the middle.
Yeah.
Do it.
I have a story about the Tate Modern.
Go on.
So I was there a couple years ago to go see Kate Bush, and it was the greatest thing ever.
Wow.
But that's besides the point.
Kate Bush played in the Tate Modern.
No. She played like in...
Oh, so you were in London to see Kate Bush.
I was in London to see Kate Bush in the Hammersmith Apollo, but we figured we're here.
You might go to the Tate Modern.
Might as well go to the Tate Modern. I'd never been. Mm-hmm. And they had this massive, like just outside the cafe, they had this like massive projection screen, and they had like... these little like things. It was like MS Paint where you could draw something on it.
Cool.
And then it'd be like projected on this massive like 30-foot screen in front of everybody who's like eating their lunch. So I thought it would be a good idea to draw my favorite vibrator.
Right.
As like a cartoon character.
It's on brand anyway.
It was so on brand. Yeah. And I said buy Shauna sexshoppa.ie. And
right.
And it went up on the 30-foot screen, but there was I didn't realize that you had to like wait. There was obviously a queue because you know there was loads of children drawing things that needed to be put up on the screen. So
this is a bit like when you did the laser drawing of a cock and balls in a children's science gallery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it didn't go up straight away, and I didn't think that it was going to go up there. I thought someone had seen
it. Some
it was
screening
like,
process.
Yeah. And then as we were leaving, it just like popped up, and I was like, yeah. Yeah.
Fair play.
30-foot vibrator in the Tate Modern.
Nicely done.
So you've had your work displayed in the Tate Modern?
Yes.
It's very true.
My life's work is complete now.
That is the Time Person of the Year 2006 of the art world.
Yeah. Very true. Yeah, that's so clever,
Move over, Banksy. Sean is in the house.
Slide whistle. Who sang that song?
Groove is in the heart.
Yeah.
I think it just exists. It's a state of mind.
John Smithy.
It wasn't
Groove Armada.
No.
That would have been too groove.
I mean, the Venga Boys sang about Venga buses for years, so.
That's true.
Yeah. They can sing about groove if they want.
I'll give you a million points if you can tell me who it was, because it's actually a great name, and I can't believe I forgot it. Anyone remember?
Is it a one-word name?
No, it's hyphenated. Ooh. Two words hyphenated. It's actually so. I can't believe I forgot who sang this.
No, it's going to annoy me.
No, I can't.
Delight. Yes.
D E E E hyphen L I T E.
Three E's.
Yeah, three
nice.
E's. I love it. Love it. Crushing it is Delight.
What have they done? What's their follow-up?
What?
Like, what's their
Man,
deeply
you can
dippy?
Retire off Groove is in the
Heart.
Nah,
they've definitely.
They had a whole album called World Click. World Click.
They're probably playing Ibiza every year.
Yeah.
And nothing else.
Yeah, no, I don't think they have another. Oh, Good Beat was their next big hit.
I just got back from Ibiza. There was no D-Light posters anywhere, sadly.
When did you got back from Ibiza?
Yeah.
What brought you to Ibiza?
A plane.
Boom.
Were you going to Ibiza, back to the island?
I'd never been before. I just needed a sun holiday really, really bad. Like, I hadn't seen the sun in ages. Because, like, anytime I go on holidays, it's to go to Seattle, another rainy area of the world. So, yeah, just went there. It was, like, before the clubbing season started, so everything was closed.
There's a clubbing season.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when you hunt bears.
That's, like the Ibiza thing. Yeah, so it starts from, like, late May to, like, end of September when all, like, the really big acts, like Fatboy Slim and David Guetta and all them play.
I can't imagine a worse experience.
Right?
Oh, I've heard, like, horror stories from people that go, like, at the height of the season, and it's just, like, loads of English people just mangled off their face, and they just cram everybody in. It's really expensive. Like, my boyfriend went, like, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. He went to go see, I can't even remember who he went to go see, and it was, like, 80 euros to get in. That gave you a wristband. But then, like, water was, like, 12 bucks for, like, a 120-mil bottle of water. And you can't go drink water out of the taps because they've salted the water in the taps.
Fuck off.
Yeah. Because they know, like, they're not gonna make their money on drinks. like let's be real here.
Everyone's gurning like a motherfucker.
Yeah. So drinks are really expensive as well. Like, I think he said, like, a vodka Red Bull. Like, he had a friend who was drinking, like, just vodka Red Bulls, and he spent something like between 200 and 400 on drinks that night because it was like 30 bucks each. And he drinks doubles, so.
Yeah, I can't really imagine much worse than. Sure, I found Kendrick in Longitude to be slightly clawing. I can't imagine a beat that would be.
In terms of audience.
Just everything.
Yeah, the whole.
Just the entire experience.
But just a roofed building with.
I quite liked.
1,500 people.
Who was there? It was Jimmy and the Queens. What's her
name? Christine and the Queens.
Her as well. The two of them. They were double billing.
Daughter of Jimmy.
Yeah, no, Jimmy Eat World and the Queens. They got together.
What a great collab that had been.
Yeah. It didn't work. but yeah, no, I enjoyed El Christine.
Mm.
She waved some flowers around.
She did.
Looked a twat.
But yeah, she's French, you can get away with that.
See, this is the thing, you need to be French. Yeah, if you're not French, if you're, say, a Morrissey, that's going to stick with you.
You think?
Yeah, sticking it out your arse, get away, you fool. If he hadn't done that, I'd be totally on board with Morrissey. Rob, you would be too, I'm sure. It was hilarious. The flowers that what did
that, that was the
his
straw
opinions
that
on the Chinese,
back, yeah.
You're okay. They have the flowers.
Give me albums about, you know, the meat industrial complex all day. I'll have them, but stick a flower in your arse and I'm done. Speaking of which, we have the sex shop founder here. But you don't sell...
I don't sell flowers.
You don't sell flowers for the specific reason.
What about a holder?
Like a flower holder. Yeah, I'm trying to think if I sell anything that you could reasonably put a flower into. And
thimbles.
The answer is no.
Butt thimble. Is a butt thimble a thing?
I do have... No, butt thimble is not a thing.
They're just called butt promises in Peter Pan.
Oh,
or butt
no.
kisses. Butt kisses, god damn
no.
it. They were kisses,
we're
right?
We're not going there in the shop.
That's what it... Kisses rather than promises,
yeah,
right?
I think so.
God damn, I fucked up. What could have been a nice piece of business?
You've just ruined my childhood.
J.M. Barry. I would say he's rolling in the grave, but he's got too big of an erection right now to even get a full rotation.
That's very good. So tell us about your shop, Sean.
After that?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Clean segue.
How do I go on after that?
So you're the founder and proprietor of self-described smut-peddling outfit sex shop.
Yeah, that's how the Irish Times described me.
Is that actually true?
Yeah. Well, because I asked them to.
Perfect.
They're like, how do you want to be known? I was like, smut peddler. And then they did. That was like the headline. It was like something like local smut peddler has a conscience. And I was like,
that's a nice title. That's a nice headline.
Yeah.
I mean, probably not what you, because the I went on, I had a look at your website last night.
Yeah.
And it's all very, you know,
ethically conscious. And,
yeah, it's
and
curated for all the hipsters out there who want your sex toys curated. I'm your gal. So my main kind of thing when I'm picking out toys to sell is that they have to be body safe. Like, that's the bottom line. So they
is not something I was aware of.
Yeah. So
didn't Allison suggest using a Pete Burkett?
Yeah, so I was on Allison Spittle's podcast, and she we kind of went on a tangent about, like, what is more body safe, bog oak or peat briquettes.
Very good.
Yeah.
It's got to be a briquette.
No.
It's very porous.
Very porous, yeah.
Bog oak is brittle. You'll lose half of it.
So is peat.
Ah, peat, though. You'd need to really be going to town.
I never thought
that
this conversation would be brought up again, but here
you brought it up.
Well, I brought it up because I liked the idea of a briquette being used.
Briquette's marvelous, yeah. And a briquette is even ribbed for her pleasure. You get that in? You get the...
Yeah?
I mean, it's...
And all the lettering.
It just feels like it would be like just,
you know what?
Sandpapery.
If you know what you're doing, you turn the briquette inside out.
Oh, God.
Or is bog wood, no, could that not just be like the penis of a bog body?
That's true. Just get a bog person.
Could be, yeah. You could break into the National Museum. Yeah.
Just go into the bogs. There's loads of them.
Wicklow Mountains, lads.
Yeah, I mean,
there's no shortage.
Those ones, though, still have family.
Oh, God.
So go to sexshop.ie.
I'm so sorry for ruining your business.
No, it's okay. I'm sure Allison ruined it before. It's fine.
Let's go body safe. Something I was aware of.
Okay, so the deal with the body safe movement is that the sex toy industry is like largely unregulated, like worldwide, largely unregulated.
If you can get your hands on briquettes.
Yeah. So there's been a number of shops coming up in the last like sort of 10, 15 years or so who have decided to stock like just products that can be used internally and is safe to use. So like things like silicone, hard plastic, stainless steel.
Tinfoil.
No, not tinfoil.
Because if you've got a filling, you get the little shock.
Yeah.
Like when you have a thing of dairy milk, you haven't unwrapped properly.
Oh. Yeah. You don't want to use that as a sex toy.
Just because all ladies, of course, have vagina denta. So if you've got a filling you've to tin.
Different kind of denta.
Oh, what? Go on. I'm sorry for interrupting.
So wood is a really body safe product. If you seal it properly, then it's fine.
Which is
why I thought like bog oak would be a good. But then I was like, just leave the bog oak in the bog.
It would want to be varnished.
Yeah,
like
polyurethane, I think, is body safe.
Would you ever consider trying to get some sort of endorsement deal with Ron Seal?
You got 5 years out of them.
Yeah.
You get your man knocking on it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No?
You just get the lighthouse keeper who they didn't varnish with them. There you go. Donezo.
The lighthouse is already the right shape to advertise the product.
It is. Yeah. Very phallic. Making sure that all the toys are body safe, and then making sure that they're like nicely designed, that they're products that people actually want to use. Because like if you look at if you go online and just like Google just vibrators like on Amazon or whatever, and you see some of the stuff that's exists out there in the world, it's like why would anybody want to use this stuff?
Right.
So I just...
Can you give us an example?
I don't want to name like any particular companies, but like
I'm not really in the market for a vibrator. You see,
it's
so
a different circle.
You mean
you're not in the market for a vibrator yet?
No, I am not in the market for a vibrator, my friend. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure it's lovely, but it's not something that piqued my interest so far.
Okay.
But listen, maybe by the end of the show, you'll be selling me a bog body.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never know.
I said to Allison that I wondered if any of the bog bodies, if they had been found with like ye olde sex toys like buried around them.
There's a bunch of, I mean, there's a huge archaeological purview towards, you know, research. Like the Egyptians had dozens of them.
Oh yeah,
there's so many, and even even in sort of pre-Norman England, there's been big old dildos found carved out of wood.
Did you see the Victorian dildo that went on auction?
Yes, I did, actually. I don't know how I saw it.
Well, I mean, it was all over like the newspapers thing, yeah. And stuff, and I was absolutely devastated that I, because I was in Ibiza that weekend,
right.
And so like I couldn't go to the auction. Like, I don't know if I would have. I think I would have spent like a fair amount of money on it.
How much was it?
I think it was like 320, or no, not 320. Sorry, it was 3,200,
yeah.
But it was reported that it sold for 320,000. So right. When that came out, I was like, oh, that's fine. I never would have been able to
right.
Report it. That's the price of a
320,000.
Yeah, for a Victorian dildo. But I was like, then I got really upset because I realized, like, you know, it went to...
You've been underselling yourself. If that's yeah. The going right.
Yeah. I just need to, like, let the dildos age 100 years.
Yeah.
But it...
The best dildos
it went
are
to
distilled. you put them in a... Like Laphroaig, you bury it for 10 years.
That's where Triple X comes from. It's a Triple X dildo.
Exactly.
So it went
very
to
good.
A
Thank
private
you.
American seller, and that kind of upset me that it's like it's gone out of the country now. It'll never come back, and there's so few examples of, like, you know, Irish sexual culture. Like, it's kind of mostly
like
hidden.
Was it specifically an Irish thing?
Yeah,
was
it? Well, it was like it was an Irish dildo. Like it was it must have. I don't know the history of it. I really want to get in touch with the auctioneers and find out what the history of that toy was, because it's like it's such a rare example. Mm. Like those Victorian ivory dildos.
Keep it clean. Keep it clean.
They're rare enough anyway, but to find an example of them in Ireland is really, really special.
No, absolutely. Not known for sexual exploration were the old Victorian Irish.
Yeah, yeah.
Generally
it was in
speaking.
Oldcastle as well, which is like on the border between Meath and Cavan.
Yeah.
Which I thought was, I did a thing in the school there a few months ago. It's like, that's like the biggest town near where
Dad grew up. Kilnashandra dildo.
But it's like, there's nothing in that town.
No, that's why they invented it. I'm fucking bored.
Oldcastle, yeah. It was a very interesting place that they somehow got their hands on it.
Did the dildo come from there, or was it from a manor house like somewhere else and they just brought it to that particular auctioneer?
I love that it would have been in a manor house that was just on display. This is the ladies' stress reliever. Ivory as well. Like,
yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, didn't you shoot an elephant and then get a car from it? Wasn't that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It went via China.
Did it?
Yeah, yeah. The guy, yeah. That was it, actually. I remember reading it. He went over, shot the elephant, ivory... Brought it back, sent it to China, got it all fancied up.
Yeah.
Brought back. Here you go, love.
Aww.
Back off to shoot more animals.
I mean, apart from the shooting an elephant thing, I think that's quite sweet. The lengths that...
It's a lot of work, yeah.
The lengths that people would go to keep their ladies happy.
When I was a kid, I met an old lady who was, I want to say, Rommel's driver.
Yeah.
Back in the day, do you remember which one? Was it Rommel? I can't remember.
I think it was Rommel you mentioned to me before,
it was
yeah.
One of the boys, anyway. One of the bad
one
lads.
Of the big five.
One of the big five. And she was literally like his chauffeur or whatever. She was ancient, and I had to stay in her house for a day for some reason, and she only had Rupert the Bear comics from the 30s, which at the time I thought was incredibly boring, but now I would love to look at. Like, I'd love to see what that is like. But at the time I was like, this is shit. But the first thing, I went into her house, and the first thing she showed us was this huge elephant foot that she had by the side of the door. And she's like, oh yes, my husband shot that. It's the third biggest elephant foot in Africa. And she shot it and cut the leg off him, and then it was an umbrella stand.
I have an elephant foot story. Sorry, I have stories about everything.
I love it.
We'll just bring up weird stuff.
Yeah. So there was a museum in my hometown called the Karshner Museum, and they had loads of, like, you know, dead animals and stuff. And but they had an elephant foot, and whenever like a class tour came through, you had to smell the inside of the elephant foot. That was just like tradition.
Right.
It's not really bad.
Was this like an older boy who informed you of this tradition?
No, it was the tour guide. They're every class that we bring in, like, you have to like smell the inside of the elephant foot, and then the tour guide would just laugh at us.
Jesus Christ.
Because they're definitely pissing in it after hours.
Oh, probably.
That's the absolute, you got to kiss the Blarney Stone as all the locals zip up their flies.
Yeah.
Has there been any recorded incidences of that? pissing on the Blarney Stone.
I just presumed it was the thing.
I've definitely heard of it.
Yeah.
I've kissed the Blarney Stone.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Was it moist?
It was very upside down.
Right, yeah, you sort of have to go,
I just remember it was in an episode of Relic Hunter.
It's true, yeah. That was, I remember the episode. And they drove from there to, or I think they maybe Donegal. Walked from Dublin to the Blarney Stone.
They walked?
Yeah.
Oh, it was a real, like, bad Ireland geography
example. What was your name? Tina Carrera?
Tia Carrera.
Tita?
Tia.
Tia Carrera. I'm mixing that up with the sister girls.
Tia and Tamara
Carrera.
Tia and Tamara Mowry.
Yep, there you go.
They're like super religious now.
Is that right?
They had a show, that a reality show.
Did also shard at finding relics.
Yeah, real bad.
But I tell you, anyway, yeah, that episode of Relic Hunter, she was in Ireland because the IRA were taking the heads off all the statues.
That was it, yes.
Man, I must watch that again. That was genius. That's right up there with the Fairhaven episode of Voyager. Like.
There's an episode of Murder, She Wrote.
Right.
She gets trapped in the dungeon of the castle in Ireland. There's like a bunch of episodes where it's clearly the producers were like, wouldn't mind another holiday to Ireland. I write it off as an expense.
Yeah. Right. I thought it was really funny, like when my friends come over, they're like, we want to see a castle. And I'm like, well, we'll just drive out to some random farm. There's castles all over the fucking place. I hope you don't mind cows grazing around it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the cow lives in that castle.
Like, that cow is the king of that castle.
Bunch of horses live in the castle closest to me.
Really? Yeah.
They own that castle now.
And people say animals are mistreated.
This is it. Do you have their own castle?
You don't see any homeless horses.
Very true.
Oh, my God.
Fucking spoilt.
Me and Sean were walking down here. We saw the littlest pony. There was a guy with a Shetland pony and a trap. Just, you know, where all the horses park
like
up.
A pit trap.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was the most adorable.
You know, like, where all the horses and carts hang around Stephen's Green?
Yeah.
He was just there in a Shetland pony and, like, a one-person little trap.
Mashed up.
And then he was just getting photos taken and then just decided to travel on around. There wasn't space for anyone else. He was just, sunny day, I'm going to go
just
in.
Just his mode of transport.
That's what I said, yeah. Yeah. The horse was picking up a fierce pace now once it hit South William Street.
Fair play.
I don't know how he'd get into town with it.
Sure. No clamps.
No clamps.
No NCT.
This is the song. The horse outside.
I tried to show that video to my American friends, and they're like, outside. We do not understand this at all. And I was like, fiercely trying to explain all of the in-jokes, like all of the real kind of like Irish stuff in there. And they're like, what do they have against Honda Civics? They're good, reliable cars. Like, oh, God.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This ad break brought to you from the fine individuals over at LootCrate.com. You know Loot Crate. You love it like we do. Why not go to LootCrate.com/Stoneface and check out all they have to offer. May's theme is Guardians. This month, Loot Crate are saluting those that stand up for others, whether they're protecting the galaxy, the world, or just the neighborhood. All hail the Guardians. As you might imagine, it features classic items and apparel from the likes of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Star Wars, which, Rob, I believe you have a passing familiarity with, Destiny, which is a very good shooter, and The Goonies, a movie from the 80s that I have not seen. But hey, I hear very positive things. Loot Crate, as you know, it's the monthly mystery crate for pop culture fans, and it is filled with over $45 worth of value in every crate. So if you use the promo code BADLADS, that's BADLADS, you get a couple of quid off, and boy howdy, if you aren't robbing them blind, go to lootcrate.com/stoneface and use the promo code BADLADS. And hey, when you do, if you send me over at john@stonefacefilms.com, that's john@stonefacefilms.com, a screenshot proving that you are a subscriber to Loot Crate and that you used our promo code, well, I will write you a poem of your very own on a topic of your choosing. And for those of you who are still waiting for your poems, don't worry, they're coming. They're coming. I work hard on this thing, man. I'm not knocking out a limerick. I want to get some sort of beat poetry thing going on. Go to lootcrate.com/stoneface and use the promo code BADLADS. BADLADS. See you at lootcrate.com/stoneface.
You've been living here for a good long while, right?
Yeah, like 12 years.
Wow,
yeah.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. And what made you move here in the first place, if you don't mind me asking?
I came over on like what was essentially like the American version of a J-1.
Right.
I dropped out of college, I had like a year to use my student visa, and I hadn't done much traveling at all. Like, I'd never been to Europe, so I was like, okay, well, I'll come over and visit. So did that. Worked in a nightclub that shall remain nameless on Harcourt Street.
Oh dear.
There's not, none of them are good. Like, there's not a good one.
Yeah. Nope, they're all bad. it was like the worst experience of my life.
Were you working like behind the bar?
I wasn't even behind the bar. I was like collecting glasses, which meant that guys could grab my ass whenever they fucking wanted. And then if I complained, they were just like, well, that's just the job. If you don't want the job, you can quit. So I asked to be moved to the cloakroom because at least then there was like a barrier between me and the drunk lads. Mm-hmm. So
you're narrowing it down now. Which ones have cloakrooms?
Yeah.
So that happened. And then at the very end of the trip, I met a guy. So that's how I ended up here.
And you're still with this fellow? This is the Ibiza? Oh, no.
No. Different guy.
Ah, well. Sure, I never liked the first one.
But funnily enough, he ended up moving to America. Like, he got remarried in Texas.
You were married, weren't you?
I was married before, yeah.
Yeah.
I got married and divorced by 24.
Wow. That's cool, Kevin.
Yeah.
What?
Goals.
Yeah.
That's a nice piece of business. Do you want to talk about it, or is that...
No,
That's it.
Don't want to go into detail. But he remarried a girl from Texas, so he lives over there now, and I live over here. So we just kind of swapped countries.
Yeah, but Texas instead of Seattle, he got the worst...
Austin.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Austin is meant to be lovely. I've never been, but I hear only positive things.
Yeah.
Oh, Mary, that's a good... That's a lot of stuff in by 24.
Yeah.
Good work.
I packed it all in. It's weird, like, looking back on my life then, I basically, like, I didn't know anyone over here. I packed my bag and I was like, I'm going to go seek out some adventure. And now if I think about doing that now, I'm just like, nope. How about I just stay at home on my Buddha bag? And
hang
out with my dog.
Oh yeah, hold on.
Not the only furniture, but like, you don't have any chairs.
I don't have tables, I don't have TV, I just have the Buddha bags. No, we got rid of like our couch and we just have two Buddha bags.
So I was over in the, and she's like, nice. Patty sits in this one, plays StarCraft, I sit in this one and watch RuPaul. And I was like already asleep in one of them.
Speaking of RuPaul, David, I saw last night.
Sean hasn't seen the current episode.
Yeah. All right, so we can't do our regular segment of Dragnet with David Riley.
Dragnet.
Okay, I need to know if my top three are still my top three.
Okay.
Like, are they still in? Valentina.
Yeah.
Still in?
Yeah.
Is it, you sure you want to notice?
Shea Coulee?
Sure you want to know?
Yeah, I don't guess Shea, but yeah. Still there.
Yeah. I think she's really nice.
Yeah.
Every season there's a Nina Bonina Bonnie Brown.
No, you just every time you happen to walk by,
every fucking
she's
time
been introduced.
Nina Bonina Bonnie Brown. And it's like
Rodham Clinton.
They said Rodham Clinton, one of them,
and
Osama bin Laden.
Is Sasha Velour still in?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Osama bin Liner.
Where was that?
It was on Titanfall, I think.
That was someone's username in Titanfall, was Osama bin Liner. Oh. I'm playing Titanfall online, I was like, you've been killed by Osama bin Liner. I was like, nah, fair play. Yeah, good name. Because that's got to be Irish. Because do you have like bin liner, what do you call them out in the States?
We wouldn't call them bins.
Trash bag.
Trash bag.
Osama trash
like
bag.
Garbage can.
Yeah. Either Irish or English, maybe.
Yeah.
I got teased this weekend for saying vitamins and garage. Because I was like, there is an Audi garage being built across the road from me. And they were like, a what?
I think garage.
We say garage.
You say garage. So you got teased by an American person for saying it.
Yeah, my friends who
correctly.
Were visiting.
I see. Yeah. And so, yeah, because I was thinking vitamins.
Not to rag
correct.
On anyone, no, but someone who's called Scooter shouldn't be...
Scooter's throwing shade.
Scooter was making fun of me for calling him vitamins. Because he woke up this morning with a cold and he was like, do you have any of those like fizzy, like orange? Yeah, Baraka, yeah. So he was like, what... I was like, he's like, tell me what vitamins is in it. I'm like, okay, you got vitamin C, vitamin B. And he was like, a what? And I'm like, vitamin. And he was like, yeah, I'm just winding you up.
That's fair. Like, garage is right, though. Scooter. What would you normally say? A garage?
Garage, yeah.
But even that doesn't make sense. An Audi garage. Of like an Esso garage. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Because we wouldn't call it an Esso garage.
A petrol station. Gas
station. We'd call it a station. Yeah, yeah. Right. So it would be an Esso station.
Or a dealership.
Yeah. Right. Car dealership. Right. Yeah.
A garage.
Yeah.
Garage.
A garage is where you go to smoke weed and park your car.
Right. Okay. They're the big two.
Yeah.
Your hot box in a hot box.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were in Glendalough yesterday, you were saying?
Yeah.
I've never been in Glendalough.
Oh, my hometown.
Someone asked us on the last podcast what Irish landmarks or stuff to visit. You'd recommend Glendalough?
Yeah, Glendalough is rad, but it wasn't yesterday. I mean, it was beautiful yesterday, but like everybody had the same idea. Just everyone. We had to park like a mile outside of the parking lot just to get in. And so like walking in the heat just to get to Glendalough, we had to like stop off at the pub and have a pint and then keep going.
On the way, yeah.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You should try if you're going down that way again. I don't know if you've been, and we were only there last week, Powerscourt.
I love Powerscourt, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a lovely place to bring a scoot.
Yeah.
Did you stop by there, did you say?
No. we drove past it, but we didn't have time to stop off. The plan originally was to go to Glendalough, and then because they're like me, they love a cemetery, they love like a death tour. So they wanted to go to Glasnevin. So so my boyfriend was like, oh yeah, we'll go to Glendalough and then we'll go to Glasnevin. I was like, there's no way we were doing those two things in one day.
Where, if you don't mind me asking, where approximately do you live?
Like South Dublin.
South Dublin. Yeah. So that's
like
two different directions.
Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
10 minutes from our house.
And we went to Glendalough through Sally Gap. So we took like the long scenic route to get to Glendalough.
Right. So, the Sally Gap's a bastard.
Yeah.
To drive. I mean, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
But it's a nightmare. There
was so many.
That's
cyclists
up around the hills, is it?
Oh, they're the worst.
Like the cycle teams and stuff. It's cool watching them. Like when there's like 10 or 20 perish. In a row.
Like, cyclists are the worst things in the whole world. Can we all agree on that?
What if it was a team full of Shetland pony drivers?
That's fine.
So much slower.
If my daily commute was addled by Shetland ponies.
Cute ponies.
Yeah. I wouldn't have a problem with that. Do you know what ponies don't do? Jump red lights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They might if you spook them.
It probably would. Also, Shetland ponies known for paying road tax. Pay their way. Fucking cyclists, man.
But
they're
their hooves
suicidal.
Would just be like chipping away at the.
Yeah, and that's why they pay their way. They pay their way. I respect that. Cyclists
some
cyclists
shit every time they stop.
No,
do you know why? Because you're a respectable taxpayer member of society. You're damn right. I have no problem. You know, like normally I'll say something and then we'll get Rob to cut it out because we'll be like, oh, that was a bit confrontational, yeah. Rob. I shouldn't have said that. Fuck them, cyclists. When I am king, you will be first against the wall, in the words of your man from Radiohead.
So, like, if Leo Varadkar, instead of going after welfare cheats, he went after cyclists.
I'd be well up for that.
If he had the big posters on the buses, fuck cyclists.
Fuck cyclists, yeah. In the same grim, like, writing.
Yeah.
And, like, American Horror Story font, like, across it. Yeah. Fuck cyclists.
You'd steal one off the side of the bus and put it on the front of the house.
Man, there's nothing worse. There's nothing worse. Like, in Dublin City, in the inner city in particular, like, they just are.
So I don't have a problem with, like, the cycle team cyclists. I think they're grand because they're wearing their high-vis and their helmets or whatever. Yeah. But, like, I'm currently learning how to drive, and there's nothing scarier than coming upon someone who is wearing, like, all black, like looking like Davey.
I was waiting for it, yeah.
With no helmet, no high vis, no lights, no nothing, and it's like dusk.
I'm blind drunk so often.
Yeah.
Oh my God, drunk cyclists on the N11.
Man, a drunk cyclist, I parked my car up, or actually I wasn't even parked, I stopped at the lights at in Rathmines. This isn't so long ago.
I was with you.
Yeah, and a dude just fucking ran into the cycle directly into the back of the thing. And when I got out, I helped him up. Hey, all right, da 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 da. And I thought he had brain damage, but he was just paralytically drunk, cycling home. And you know, goddamn, you know, it's fuck him. Fuck them all.
There was one guy when we were driving up through Sally Gap who looked like he might have been drunk. Like, he was, like, weaving back and forth.
He's pretty lost.
Yeah, this was, like, in the middle of Sally Gap, and I'm just like, if you're doing that now, you're in bad shape. And it was, like, hot outside. Maybe we should
stop
and gave him water.
Cottage where there's the little stream running by in the Sally Gap.
So you're talking
about my hometown now. I know all the spots.
Like, which picturesque cottage are you talking about? Like, there are many.
You didn't see Loch Tay as well, the Guinness Lake, did you, by any chance?
No, we didn't drive by that.
It's very pretty as
It's gorgeous.
That road up towards there is a Sally Gap, is it?
No, it's not far from it.
Right. We drove up, there's like a stream and a waterfall.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever, there's like some farmers that like live down in the valley, and they had put up like a wall at the very top of like where the waterfall is to stop people climbing, or just to tell people like, don't be idiots. And we were kind of like off to the side about like 50 feet so we could get like a nice view of the waterfall. And we see these like teenagers start climbing down the rocks, and we're like, someone put 999 on speed dial like right now, because this is a Darwin Award waiting to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
And did anything happen? Did they live?
We didn't stay long enough to, like, maybe we should just get in the car and drive away before we see anything that we don't want to see. There was loads of people around. I'm sure someone would have called the emergency services.
That's fine then, yeah.
Yeah.
Bit of bystander syndrome, preemptive bystander syndrome.
Get in the car now.
Go, go, go.
Yeah. Also, there was a lot of motorbikes, and, like, my dog is, like, deathly afraid of motorbikes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's your dog like?
I have a Bichon Frise.
Oh, get away.
Yeah.
My cousins have a Bichon Frise, and he's adorable and very soft and completely brain dead.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy's like pretty chill. It's kind of like Jekyll and Hyde. Like, he's really chill most of the time, like super lazy, just wants to be cuddled and get his belly rubbed. And then if he hears someone like walking around like in the hallway, because we live in an apartment complex, he'll lose his mind,
right.
Like completely lose his mind and just start barking. And yeah.
Ooh, he's a cool dog though.
He is a cool dog. Yeah. I love him to bits.
Could I actually do a bit of housekeeping while we're here? Just want to say before we, while we have you on the Wednesday episode, a couple of people have been getting in touch, eagerly awaiting their poem for the Loot Crate.
Oh shit. Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
Don't worry, it's coming. But like all great poetry, I want to overwrite the fuck out of it until it bears no resemblance to...
So multiple drafts.
Yeah, it's written, but I'm not happy with it.
What kind of poem? Is it a haiku?
No, it's just a poem. Just a slightly beat vibe. You know, I'm slightly beat poetry, but in a shit way.
Okay.
In a way that would be like that, but if it were shit.
Yeah.
We're doing a don't know what you call it, a thing where if you send us proof that you subscribed to our sponsor Loot Crate, I'll write a poem for you on a topic
That's
of your
very
choosing.
Nice.
And they're being written. Don't worry, they're on their way. Just need to grapple the fuck out of them. But they're coming, lads. They're coming. Don't worry. And also, do you know what? I got a lovely message there from FC.
Oh, yeah?
Football club, talking about how his D&D campaign went.
Oh, great.
Sounds very good. Sounds very interesting. And he's doing some cool stuff about
Brilliant.
Monsters that got driven underground by space beholders. Sounds very fun, man. I look forward to hearing more about it. We should talk more, but I love... Man, do you ever play Dungeons & Dragons?
I've never played.
Man, you should give it a lash.
I would love to. I'm kind of a Settlers of Catan kind of gal.
Oh, I love it.
I really love playing Ticket to Ride when I'm drunk.
Love
it's really
Ticket to Ride.
Easy.
Yeah, it's very simple.
Yeah.
Davey got us the expansion for Christmas Gone.
Yeah.
Of the British Isles.
Yeah.
Or as,
oh,
or
I really want to play that
as
one.
It's correctly pronounced, the... Anglo-Hibernian Peninsula.
Yeah.
Featuring England.
Yeah.
Featuring England.
Yeah. So,
I have the North American one, and I have...
Yeah, we have the North American one as well, yeah.
And I have the European one.
Yeah. I just took the European one off my Amazon wish list. I was like, we haven't played the Irish one yet. In fact,
yeah.
I'm not going to get the European one as well.
There... Because yeah, the back of the Ireland and England one is Pennsylvania.
Yeah, an odd one, just Pennsylvania.
Very specific.
Okay.
Any? Would you have any idea as to why Pennsylvania warrants its own train state?
The Keystone State. Is that what that one is, Pennsylvania?
Sure, let's go with that.
Keystone State.
Oh, Keystone Pipeline is somewhere else.
Keystone in the Federal Union.
Oh, right.
There you go. There you go.
You know more about American history than I do.
Not really.
There's more about trains.
I do like trains. I do.
Trains are cool.
Trains are fucking incredible. Yeah. You want to talk about, you know, phallic objects, boy howdy. Don't come any finer.
Going into tunnels.
If you could get me that would change my mind now. That would get me...
If I had a vibrator shaped like a train?
Boo howdy. You read my mind.
It'd need to be steam-powered.
Okay, yeah.
You're damn right.
Have like a steampunk.
Give me a nice center. Fleischer. A nice Fleischer.
Okay.
I'd be all over that. And by that, I mean, yeah.
Stop motion. Or in a cartoon.
Yeah, it would be fantastic. Do you know what I've been just talking, while we're talking about nerdy board gamey shit, I've become really enamored with this game called Guild Ball. If I talk to you lads about Guild Ball.
Guild Ball?
Guild.
No, I don't
Guild.
Think so.
Guild.
Okay.
Have you talked to you about
Guild Ball? Yeah, because you
chatted to me about it. I don't think.
Man, I'm super fucking. I think Owen's.
We haven't
play
spoken
Guild
about
Ball
it on the podcast.
It's like old timey football, like soccer.
Yeah.
Where it's it's in this sort of weird, fictional, pseudo Victorian setting, where everyone's got ivory dildos, and it's basically like old school football, like a pig's bladder wrapped in leather kind of thing.
There's a nice little segue I've got coming up for this.
Okay.
Yeah, keep going.
Talked about this after recording last week.
Yeah.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, it sounds amazing.
Came up with your character that you're doing for the next D&D thing. But yeah, there's you can play as like... It's all basically guilds or the different teams, so you can play as the Fisherman's Guild or the Mason's Guild or the Brewers or Morticians or Alchemists or Farmers or whatever. And man, I'm all over them Fisherman models, goddamn. Cool. You don't know this about me, Shauna, but I'm a deeply nautical man. I'm only at home at the sea, you know. That's why I was so enthralled by this idea of salty taps. I want to get them installed in my gaff.
You mentioned to me before that your mom is part of a quilting guild.
Yeah.
Very good.
And I said that and you got laughed and got really excited.
Yeah. Because I immediately thought old-timey guilds.
Yeah.
And like, oh, the Assassin's Guild.
Yeah.
The Poisoner's Guild.
Quilters.
The Quilters.
The Quilters Guild.
So my mom's really into her sewing. And like whenever I'm home, like we try to do a quilt while I'm home.
Wow.
It takes a lot of work. And as a retirement present to herself, she bought this like massive fuck off, like long arm sewing machine that looks like a machine gun.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. So she's like, she's part of this quilting guild and she's like by far the youngest person there.
Right.
But yeah, like she loves it. It's great.
Just smashing HIV left and right. Just taking it down.
And do you would there be a quilting models for Guild Ball, do you think, John?
Oh, yeah, the Quilters Guild.
The Quilters Guild are OP as fuck.
They're all very old. Not good at football.
Yeah. At least they're comfortable.
They're boy well, they, probably, they look cozy.
They could probably sew up like the pig skin or
the balls, yeah,
ball.
You're quite right.
Or like the nets could be quilted.
Man, that sounds great.
There's a lot of opportunities for quilters in this game.
Lads, you want to get into Guild Ball, yeah?
Yeah, actually, I really do.
Yeah. It's only like because it's a miniatures game, right? Yeah. But you get like 3 to 6 miniatures, you're done. Like it's not. It's not like a Games Workshop game or anything where it's like a second
you
job.
You need to spend $2,000 on.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's you one and done kind of thing.
Yeah.
But Dibsy Fisherman anyway, and Owen's going Butcher's Guild.
That actually suits him.
I thought he was going to go Brewers. I imagined he'd go Brewers Guild. Right, but apparently he doesn't like their hats.
Dibs.
You're going Brewers?
I'm
going
to go Brewers.
I'm going to get the box set. Brewers come. In the opening set is Brewers and Masons.
Class.
Do they have an ivory dildo carver?
Yes. Oh no. Yeah. It's a big part of the game.
Okay.
Cool. There's no dice. You just spin an ivory dildo.
Yeah. It's like spin the bottle, but yeah. Spin the dildo.
It's like the game of life. You know, when you had the spinny thing in lieu of dice. In the game of life, if you're spinning a carved ivory dildo, you've already won.
Yeah.
Do you mean real life or the board game Game of Life? Because that's just going to knock all of your little peg kids off the table.
Yeah.
Oh, there was nothing funnier as a kid, and I understand that this is the humor of a child. So bear in mind.
I think I know where you're going with this.
There was nothing funnier than when your mate gets married in the Game of Life, and you give him a blue peg. Ho, ho, ho.
Oh, God.
Classic stuff. Classic. That was
less dark than I actually thought.
When you...
Because if you were moving and your kids fell off the car...
Oh, yeah, then they're dead.
They're dead, yeah.
Then they're dead.
It's just the rules.
I remember playing that. I used to
taking that corner so sharply.
I had a really great friend called Angus, and every so often I really want to, like, but I can't remember his surname.
And it drives really great me friend mad. Whose surname you can't remember.
We were best friends in primary school, and me and a guy called Dara O'Neill, the three of us were, like, really, really close. And it drives me crazy because I can't look him up. I don't know. But he was such a lovely, lovely man with a lovely family. And me and him and his sister used to play on rotation Game of Life and then Golden Axe on the SNES or on the Mega Drive. And they were like the two things we played. And there was nothing funnier in this world than giving Angus and Elle blue peg when he got married.
You sell blue pegs?
Yes. When me and my sister were kids, we used to play Mousetrap, but we never actually...
Yeah, yeah.
We never played the game. We just set up the Mousetrap.
Right, yeah.
And then, like, did the Mousetrap.
Yeah.
That was, like, the funnest part of it.
I think that's a perfectly adequate way to play the game. Because the game itself of Mousetrap is phenomenally dull.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all about the Rube Goldberg machine jobby of it all.
And nothing at all like the West End musical,
no.
Presumably.
Although you can get Nathan Lane to show up if you give him an extra 20. Show up to your house.
Oh, geez. I can't remember what... It was like a late night talk show, and they had a guy on, some actor dude that I don't know his name. But when he was 2, he asked his mom to write Mark Hamill a letter because he wanted Luke Skywalker at his birthday.
Oh, it was Adam Scott.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was so sweet.
And then Mark Hamill showed up and gave him a hug and he nearly started
crying. And gave him a lightsaber.
Yeah. No.
It's like, just so wholesome.
If Mark Hamill gave you a lightsaber, can you imagine?
I would
probably still be crying.
It would be over the bed for the rest of your life. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just seems like the nicest guy that didn't let, like, fame go to his head.
Would a lightsaber technically be body safe?
Depends. Well, no, I mean, like, are we talking, like, the fictional...
We're talking...
Are we talking, like, a plastic...
We're talking a Count Dooku, like, one of the curved ones. You know what I mean?
Well, the Force
effects ones are... But, I mean, are we talking about, like, a toy lightsaber? Or
no,
talking
let's go real lightsaber.
Okay, so real lightsaber would probably cut you in half. So I'm going to go with not body safe.
What if you use the other side?
How the handle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what, some of them what kind were of metal? Like, is it made out of some weird alien metal? Like, what kind of metal are we talking about?
Rob, you're the expert.
Probably make out of whatever you have at
hand.
I mean,
if it's a stainless steel, that's probably fine. But I'd be worried about the edges because they're quite, like, edgy.
They are.
You'd need to design your lightsaber with that purpose.
Yeah.
As a secondary purpose.
Making a lightsaber.
It's a dildo that also is a lightsaber.
You know what you could do if you had a lightsaber and you just got some Sugru, that like stuff that like,
we've discussed it many times.
Soften the edges.
Yeah. Yeah. Would that be considered body safe?
It's silicone.
Right.
What about green stuff?
Probably not.
You know green stuff?
No.
The Warhammer, it's like
an epoxy.
Epoxy, yeah. So it's a blue and like a blue plasticine and a yellow plasticine, you mix it together and you get a green one and then it solidifies.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know if plasticine is.
What if it was Kylo Ren's one? So like you had
the
hilt.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Danger hilt.
Yeah.
Danger hilt. That just seemed like overkill. Can we just like talk about that for a minute?
Please.
Fucking hated that movie.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I had really high hopes because I have such a crush on Donald Gleason. Donald Gleason, if you're listening, let's hang out.
He's a devoted listener. Donald, if you want to get in touch, go to sexshopper.com.
Yep. you can go to
the tab. Are you Donald?
Are you Donald Gleason?
Yeah.
had like really high hopes for that movie. I thought he wasn't too bad in it, but like I just thought the movie itself was not.
I thought he was great, man. I thought he was very... I thought he did what he needed to do well.
I thought Donald Gleeson did a
really
good
job. Don't get me wrong,
job.
It's not his finest acting performance, but it didn't call to be his finest acting performance.
You know what I think was his finest acting performance?
What?
Dread.
Oh, very good, right.
I love Dread.
I was
Dread.
Ready for you to say About Time.
Dear, oh dear.
The favourite movie of one Killian Woods.
Fucking hated
Wait, seriously?
Film.
I never saw it.
Yeah.
Killian has no taste, God bless him. Like, I love Killian to death, but like... He's shite taste in films. Although, do you know what? We've been spending the last couple of weekends watching the extended editions of The Lord of the Rings at his behest, and they they hold up. They're still very, very strong.
I assume Davey isn't there because he still hasn't seen them.
He's never seen it.
I saw The Fellowship a few weeks ago. Yeah. It was just like, Jesus, this is almost 20 years. How is this almost 20 years
and
old?
And it looks great.
They still really hold up.
Yeah.
Gollum looks a little shiter in the eyes, but, you know, what can you do?
But even
That's
just
on the, Andy Serkis.
The big battle scenes and shit, they made it look, because they used a lot of extras and then just doubled them all up.
Yeah.
It looks a lot better than The Hobbit.
Yeah, of course it does. That's why Jurassic Park looks way better than Jurassic World.
It's unbelievable how much that is true.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable how much that is true. What are we talking about, Donal?
My bae.
Your bae. what was your problem with the film? Because for me, it was just like an...
The story, it was like, okay. The story just seemed like it was A New Hope. Again.
It absolutely was, yeah.
It absolutely was.
I'm waiting for Rob to jump in a second.
No, I'm fine. I'm an apologist.
Also, so.
It was I the second time I watched it, I enjoyed it more than the first time I watched it.
Really? See, I only watched it the once.
The first time I watched it, I came out like my intelligence had been insulted by it.
Yeah.
Because it was such a carbon copy of A New Hope.
Yeah.
Second time you watch it, you can slightly because you like the glass is already broken. You can appreciate it for what it is.
Yeah.
Because what it is,
there's bits that I really love. Like I do love the new main character, and I did love the two guys. I actually, oh my god! So I think it was Bi Ireland. There's a Bi Ireland group for bisexual people in Ireland, and someone had posted a cartoon that someone did of what's her face, the name of the character, main character, huh?
Ray.
So she was like, this is my boyfriend Finn and his boyfriend Poe. I'm like, oh my god, that fan fiction needs to happen right now.
Oh, sure, it already has.
I'm pretty sure it already exists.
I have no doubt.
Yeah. It just seemed like a carbon copy of A New Hope. What I did love about it was Carrie Fisher clearly didn't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I don't need to act anymore. I'm Carrie Fisher. And so it's just fair play to you.
I look forward to seeing what they do with her. Because they move one of the scenes with her to episode 9, I believe.
Oh, really?
I've heard conflicting reports. So I've read that. I know her brother said she's not in it.
Her brother, I think, has said that she's going to be in episode 9.
Right.
But then I think Lucasfilm has said that she's not.
Right, right.
So I don't know what stories. I know they're not going to see it. I know they're not going to pull a Tarkin because...
Right.
Because it looks too good.
It looks shite.
So, did you see Rogue One?
I did see Rogue One. I saw it at Christmas.
What do you think?
Loved it.
Rogue One I watched that again, actually, and it's very strong. It holds up. It really does.
It's really good. And are we allowed to do spoilers on here?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you haven't seen Rogue One, stop listening now. We're nearly at the end of the episode anyway. You missed nothing.
Been out 6 months.
Yeah.
Okay. I really love that everybody died at the end.
Yeah.
It didn't have the big, happy Hollywood ending.
Yeah.
It is meant to be sad.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was so important for the story and for the universe and stuff, because I think for so long they've gone with the happy Hollywood ending, and I was just really sad and happy that everyone died at the end.
Also, I didn't like Jyn Erso as a character. Now I have to say, I thought, she just was shite.
She
wasn't interesting.
I didn't find myself rooting for any of the main characters.
Diego Luna, I dug Diego Luna.
Space husbands.
Huh?
Chirrut and Baze are just space husbands, just, you know, fighting dudes.
They were cool, but there
the
was
older guys.
Done.
Yeah,
there was nothing particularly.
Donnie Yen and
there was Chirrut, he was Chirrut Imwe.
Yeah,
he was good. The other lad, there was literally nothing to him as a character. Like they could have done a lot more with him. But I understand they're trying
to
do what they're trying to do.
Bodhi.
Bodhi's amazing.
Bodhi was the character. I was like, yeah, Bodhi.
Was
there's a grenade thrown into his ship. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
The pilot.
Yeah.
Sure, what did he do? Nothing.
He was a good crack, though.
Give out and wait for death, like.
Yeah.
It was nice to see Saw Gerrera in an actual person.
Oh, yeah. Did anyone else think that Tarkin's face looked a bit like the CG on
it?
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
I was like, what the fuck is going on there?
I maintain if they made his eyes 25% smaller, it would have looked a lot better.
Maybe. I don't know. There was just... It looked like...
It looked like a caricature, I thought.
Yeah, like it kind of
like
looked a
PRN bit...
Well, I was going to say Instagram caricature. Filter.
Yeah.
Right.
But it was...
That's why you had the bunny ears the whole time.
Yeah, there was something
I'm
about
guessing
it that
was
just like...
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
I haven't been... I'm not on Instagram.
It was very like Valley of the Uncanny.
Yeah,
totally.
And it just was...
I've never heard the Uncanny Valley said like Valley of the Uncanny.
Maybe I'm thinking Valley of the Dolls.
I like Valley of the Dolls. I like that. I like the mashup.
But yeah, I just found like any scene that he was in, I found it really hard to like listen to the dialogue because I was just like, what the fuck is up with his face?
Yeah, yeah. So... Anyway, sure, look, I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was a very, very strong addition to the canon. I think it works really, really well within the canon. I think it did what it needed to do. And you're absolutely right. If they didn't die at the end, it would have been shite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed the trailer.
The trailer was...
For the new one.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, Skellig Michael, which was... It was like half the trailer was Skellig Michael.
Yeah. They should have just... Someone should do it. Just put Heathers playing over the Star Wars trailer.
That's very good. Listen, we'll leave it on that. I've had a blast. I really hope the listener has as well. Shauna Scott, are you happy to stick around for the second episode?
Can I eat my muffin?
Yeah, yay. By all means.
Can Donald Gleason eat my muffin?
Am I right? La, 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 la is the noise that he will make. Thank you very much, Shauna, for being here. I really appreciate your time. You've been a joy, and I look forward to having you on the Friday episode. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me.
Stick around, listeners, on Friday. We'll get that other episode coming live to you from the Stag's Head, the only pub in Dublin with uneaten muffins. Also with us today, we're delighted to have him, was the nuke happy Gandhi to our every other leader in Civilization 6, Mr. Rob O'Sullivan, the engineer, Sentinel Audio Productions.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you very much for being here, Rob. We appreciate your efforts this and every week. Also with us today, the co-host of the show, who almost couldn't be here because he was bad-mouthing baristas, Mr. David Riley.
Goodbye, folks.
We won't explain it.
Yeah.
My name has been John Hosier-Byrne. Thank you very, very much for listening. See you on Friday. Good night.
This and every episode of the Stoneface Films podcast comes to you directly from the good people over at Patreon, or more specifically, the good people who support us on Patreon, of whom you may be one, and we really, really appreciate your continued support and love and everything else, particularly the top lads, Becca Hiriami, Laura Conway, McMatts, who does all of our lovely things, Therese Smout, Terry Peterson, Mandy Taylor, and Anna. We hugely appreciate your support. To the Ensigns and the USS Best Friends, Sam Sweeney Saya, Jess Angell, Jamie Pomerleau, Lucy Wilkerson, Megan Noble, and Chelsea Kirkman, thank you so much to each of you. We hugely appreciate your support. To the Knights of the Sainsbury's Car Park, Alice, and this mysterious Lard Flames, that's the greatest Tom Waits album, and the most mysterious of all knights, thank you for your support. Thank you to the small councillors of King Robert the Hand, Mary Dornan, Luke Bruton, Shelley Umla, and Dawn Smith. We hugely appreciate your support and love you dearly. Finally, our veritable deities, the stars in the constellation Aldrin's Mickey, John Oldman Byrne, Lizzie, the Goblin Child. A new challenger enters, my friends. We have two new patrons this week, but the Goblin Child. Straight into the constellation Aldrin's Mickey. We are delighted to have you. And your t-shirt and various other accessories will be coming to you post-haste. Thank you very, very much for your support. And we look forward to doing some new things with the Patreon. What are we doing, Rob?
Bonus episodes.
You're damn right. From now on, every month, a sweet bonus app will be coming exclusively to the Patreon listeners. So look forward to that. See you later, guys. Thank you so much for your time. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Stoneface Films podcast, hosted by John Hosier-Byrne, David Riley, and Rob O'Sullivan. The show is produced by Rob O'Sullivan of Sentinel Audio Productions. You can find out more about the show, our companies, and upcoming podcasts at stonefacefilms.com and at sentinelaudio.com. Our opening theme is by Lazy Itis, and all other music is by the Cooper Church Amendment.
You can get involved in future shows by sending questions and messages to the Stoneface Films Twitter, at Stoneface Films. If you could take the time to rate and review the show on iTunes and Stitcher, we'd really appreciate it. We thank you all for your continued support of this podcast, and we'll talk to you next time. This show is part of the Sentinel Audio Podcast Network.